Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Breakfast for the Gators, part of the Stadium and Gale Network and presented by our partner, Norris & Norris PA. Norris & Norris PA is in Lake City, Florida, a preeminent law firm serving North Florida since 1985, and you can give Guy a call at 386-752-7240 if you need any assistance with business law matters, real estate wills, or trust and estate planning. We come to you guys Tuesday night, fresh off an 84-71 victory over Texas, eighth straight SEC win, seventh straight on the road. Will, just give us your recap and your thoughts on tonight's win.
Hey, the Gators did not have their best stuff. They haven't really had their best stuff the past couple games, it seems like. But, you know, this podcast, I was a little critical. It seemed like they were going to overlook the Texas Longhorns. I think the Gators did, too, for the first 5 minutes. But, you know, we didn't have our best stuff. Texas gave us everything that they had. They were hitting shots way above their season-long average. To begin with, we were in foul trouble the entire game, and it just simply didn't matter. The defending national champion Florida Gators go on the road, win another game by double digits. They make you feel like you are going to be in the game, and then they rip your hearts out, and you don't even have a chance at the end of it. It's beautiful to see contributions from so many different guys. It's great to be a Florida Gator.
Yeah, another night shooting the basketball well. 8 of 18 from deep. I know we talked about getting to that 10 mark, knocking down triples, but real efficient tonight. That puts us up into the top 15, now 14th in offensive efficiency in the country, which if you've seen all the metrics, I believe you had to be in that top 15 offensively and top 15 defensively to be a national champion. Florida is now in that range. Dev, give us your thoughts tonight. You know, especially with not huge contributions from two of our three best players.
Yeah, if Boogie Flan starts making threes in the last two games he has, that's a problem for everybody else. And then to have Alex Condon just another game where he looks like the first team All-American that he was preseason. There was a point early in the second half where I said, you know, having a game like this is probably good for us. We look tired, look lethargic, look like we have the heavy legs, aren't getting a good whistle, bad bounces are happening every other play. And it just didn't matter, like Will said. I mean, I think with 7.5 minutes left, Florida was down 64-61. And the avalanche that ensued right after that, it was a 21-3 run led by the defense just getting live ball turnovers and runouts, and just it was an avalanche that reminded you of last year's team and the way that they could step on a team's throat. And it was just a phenomenal, phenomenal second half. Really proud of the way they played in a game that could have been very tricky. You got game day on Saturday. This podcast looked ahead to that game on Saturday. So for the team to lock in and close that game out the way they did, super proud of them. It's something that that you have to have to be a championship team, and they did it tonight.
Jake, I know you got to witness a lot of Gator basketball up close and personal, not throughout the Todd Golden era, but watching Alex Condon get to that first team All-American form that we anticipated preseason, a guy at 6'10 and all the aspects of the game that he impacts, just what's the difference you've seen with him these last few games and even tonight that propelled Florida to another double-digit road win?
I think the biggest thing, I mean, Devin hit the nail on the head. I mean, that looks like the All-American, the preseason All-American that everybody talked about, a guy that flirted with going into the draft last year. And by everything you kind of hear from national analysts, people think is an NBA prospect and a really good one. Biggest thing for me is, like, you don't have those loud turnovers. You know what I mean? Like, even there was games where he'd play well, but he'd have like two or three loud, like, what are you doing type turnovers. And you look at tonight, I mean, no turnovers. Three assists, no turnovers. I think he had three or four blocks. I love what I see from him, man. I feel like he's got a little bit of the edge to him, too, that we've seen at times through his career. I think we were talking late in the game. He's jawing with somebody at the free throw line. Last couple games, he's seen a couple balls go through the net from three. That probably helps early in the game seeing one go through. But playing with a lot of confidence, and he's a guy that, I mean, you see why Todd Golden thinks he's so valuable. I mean, they can run the offense through him. When he's playing like that, you're talking about a guy that gets a rebound, turns it up court, runs the floor, There was one play in the first half that led to a three where he got the ball in the middle of the court.
After a block. He blocks the ball, hits it, finds Boogie.
Right. And so you're just seeing a little bit of everything, man. I mean, it's efficient on the offensive end and scoring. It's passing. It's a big guy that can push the ball. There's a lot to like about his game right now. I mean, he looks every bit of the part the last few weeks or the last couple games of a first-team All-American.
Now, Hunter, if I told you Tommy Houck and Ruben Chinilu would combine for 10 points, 4 rebounds, 9 fouls, Tommy fouls out, what do you think happens this game, and how do the Gators kind of, you know, fight that in a road environment again before a big showdown Saturday?
Well, Jackson, I think a casual basketball fan may tell you that that's concerning and we lose in a game like that. But us, the Breakfast with the Gator group, we would tell you that that's okay because we'll hit you with Alex Condon or we'll hit you with Boogie Flan. The thing about this Gators team is you're not running it through one guy. When Chin has an off day against Ole Miss, it doesn't matter. Blow him out. When Tommy has an off game tonight and Chin a little bit of an off game too, not blowout, but you pull away a big road win against a tournament team. This team can hit you from every angle. And so to have a guy like Condon, Tommy Chin, where you have this three-headed monster where as long as one of them's on, sometimes two, one of them can afford an off night. Tommy had an off night. He was in foul trouble most of the night, but he played poorly. I mean, he shot the ball poorly. He had some bad plays on defense early. Obviously twisted the ankle late, came back in, which was good to see. But for them to still do what they did against a team like that on the road, and not just a team like that, it's a tournament team, it's a bubble team. They were punching above their weight class all night. I mean, the level of difficulty on the shots they were making in the first half, you kind of just had to tip your cap. I think we probably were thinking at some point early in the second, I mean, if they're just going to keep shooting like this, you know, what are you going to do? Sometimes it doesn't go your way. But they stayed the course. It kind of started to revert back to the mean, and they started missing some of their shots. And yeah, to your point, Jackson, it's insane that you can have your best player in Tommy, a preseason SEC player of the year, have a game like that, and you still, you know, comfortably pull away against a team like Texas. It's an embarrassment of riches.
And not just a bubble team at that point. It's a bubble team that the advanced analytics really like. I mean, I think they're 33rd in KenPom after tonight. I think they were top 30. I know they're a top 40 net team. So it's a quad 1A game. It's a team that's won 5 games in a row coming into tonight. They're trending upwards, and it was a perfect storm and a perfect spot for Florida to come in and overlook a team, and they didn't. And that's just super impressive for the defending national champions that, you know, have a big game coming up at home on Saturday. It's the last, you know, road trip of the regular season before you get to the last game of the year against Kentucky, of course. But it's super impressive. Super impressive the way they closed that game out.
Well, it's even more concerned they lost at Georgia Saturday. 13-0 run late for Georgia to pull away. The Gators kind of similar tonight, 22-3 run late to pull away. So you got a team that had a win streak, got beat, and it's kind of looking for a bounce-back game with the defending champs coming town. And another impressive piece, I know we talked about it earlier, Xavier Lee had 3 turnovers in, what, the first 5 minutes of the game, it felt like. A lot of sloppy passes. 6 assists, no turnovers, since we were criticizing him in the chat. I don't know if you guys realize that or not. But real effective. He knocked down 2 threes late, kind of the explanation point at the end, I think, to put us up 11 or 12 at the 3.5-minute mark. Will, talk about Zay Brown as well and his impact. Arguably his best full game as a Gator after a Saturday in Oxford, which he wishes he had back.
Yeah, he had 9 points, 8 rebounds, and he really steadied the ship there when we had some foul trouble with Tommy. One roll in his ankle, but he only scored 5 points the whole game, and basically seemed like when he was in, he was just turning the ball over or missing free throws. But Zay came in and immediately provided a spark. He went to the basket, he hit a 3, had 5 points, I think, in his first 2 possessions, and then in the second half, he was all over it. He drew a great foul on a review and somehow got away with a bit of a bicep to somebody's face. And so that was good. It's so clear how athletic he is, and that if he can just figure out the defensive rotations, he boxes out well. He does all the little things that he wasn't really doing in the non-conference. schedule, and he's earned a lot of playing time. And it seemed like when Tommy got in foul trouble, he was the first guy off the bench at the three spot, and Todd trusted him and let him run with it. And you know, Condon obviously had like 25 points or whatever it was, and was you know, the major contributor. I think we got a quiet 22 from Boogie. But we don't win that game without Zay Brown's his impact, and so he was just fantastic.
Hey Jake, something happened tonight regarding a winning percentage, career record at Florida. Can you rehash that for the folks that might have missed Sunday night show?
That's it. Billy Donovan's career winning percentage at Florida was 715, and tonight now I'd have to pull it back up. How many games he's in? He's won, what is it, 98 games now. Todd Golden, that is. His winning percentage at Florida now is 715. So pretty remarkable to be closing out, you know, year four, 4 years in, just matching what a Hall of Fame basketball coach did step for step. And one thing, Ryan the Hacker Green, 1010XL, tweeted tonight after the game, 58-10 in their last 68 games. I mean, what a remarkable spot the program's in the last 2 years. I mean, think about 58-10. Is a remarkable clip. So, yeah, super impressive. Super, super impressive.
Quick question, Jake, just a little trivia question. How many losses does Kentucky have this year?
You got me. What is it?
I was hoping you knew.
No. Not off the top of my head.
That would be 10. 10 losses this year.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And we haven't lost that in the last 2 years. Got it. Good point, Dave.
They're 18-10 this year. We're 58-10 over the last 2 years. That works.
Yeah, man. It's super impressive. I mean, the more I think about that number, I was looking through stuff the other day. I sent it to you guys, but just winning percentage all time from SEC coaches. I think that puts Todd right now at seventh all time. So just to put things in perspective, what a run that he's been on to start his Gator career.
And we just talked about the roster construction. I know, Dev, you mentioned it could be one of the three big guys, could be two of them, but we have that affordability and how he just built this roster. Boogie's gaining confidence, quiet 22. I think he had six assists as well. 14 on 32 made baskets tonight. It's just the way we can beat you. Not very many teams stack up from an eight-man rotation like Florida. I'd really love to have that Duke game back outside of Cam Boozer. You know, we were making jokes in this chat just yesterday, Hunter. You know, Florida's might be average without Thomas Houck. And tonight we had a below average Thomas Houck, and we still go on the road and beat a quad one team by 13 in their own place. And, you know, just show the championship caliber and the expectations, the identity this team has. And it's just something we should not take for granted, because this does not come around often. Would you say Jake's seventh now in all-time SEC winning percentage?
That's it. Of coaches that have coached more than like 12 games, there's one guy up there that coached like, I don't know, less than a season. But yeah, so seventh all-time.
That was Smokey, right? That was our guy, Smokey.
Yeah, that's it. You guys are well-read on your SEC basketball coaches' history.
We went down a rabbit hole about that Smokey fella. Yeah.
It's a Mercer Bear. World War I vet. Coached at Vandy for half the season.
I think we might have lost the crowd at this point.
To the point, though, Jackson, about got other guys stepping up, or you know, you have to beat everybody on the team. You look at – yeah, it was a quiet night offensively from Houck and Chinyelu. And just it's – We've said the word systematic. I think it's systematic that somebody else just naturally steps up, and tonight it just happened to be Boogie. And, you know, you're not going to expect him to go 22 points, 7 of 10 shooting, super efficient. But if he can score, you know, 10 to 12, 14 points a night, I don't know where, and we're protecting the ball like we did after the first 5 minutes tonight. I think that it was, we ended up with 9 total turnovers and had 3 or 4 of those in the first 5 minutes of the game, like we said. It's such an efficient offense, and it's so hard to stop all of them. And the thing is we don't have to, of course, the last couple of games we've shot the ball well, and that's just an added bonus, but it doesn't even require shooting the ball well. right? Like we can, the way we play defense, we get enough from these offensive guys. It's such a well-rounded team. It feels inevitable that they are going to find a way to win. And even a game like this that looked like it was going to come down to the wire, a good Texas team that was desperate, that played most of that game like they were playing the defending national champions and needed a signature win. For us to come out and to be able to close the game that way, it's just, you can't say enough good things about it.
Yeah, and it's going to be laughable seeing some of these talking heads that might just be box score watchers and see the final score. When it comes March, probably during Selection Sunday, say, the Gators haven't been tested in quite a while, especially on the road, double-digit wins. Obviously we got to wait until what happens in Lexington. But tonight was just shows you how good we can be. What were you, down three there at the eight-minute mark? Dev, is what you said?
It was 64-61 with 7.5 minutes left.
And they were on a run at that point. I mean, They had the whole crowd into it. We were up six, and they responded to go up three at that point. Into it. Yeah. And then that's when you said, Dev, it kind of became an avalanche.
I think that's why it's just going to be so hard to knock us out of the tournament in March, because these guys, they're so – like maybe they haven't had too many close games recently, but they were so battle-tested in the non-conference, and, the majority of the squad outside of Xavier and Boogie were really battle-tested last year. But, like, they took a pretty good team's best punch on the road when the crowd got into it, didn't flinch at all. They're two, I guess you would say, most consistent players, and Hauk and Chinyelu were not playing great. And Condon just took over. Like, he's probably been the returner that everybody's criticized the most, because he kind of has those plays where he just looks totally out of it sometimes. But he refused to be denied tonight. And so, whichever one of you said that you got to beat all of them is exactly right, because come March, when we get into the Sweet 16 and stuff, it's going to be tough for one of these teams to really knock out everybody. Even Micah Handlock kind of has some bonehead plays from time to time, but the guy's flying all over the place like a guard, making hustle plays. It's pretty impressive stuff to see.
Yeah, and everything you just said, Will, I feel like that's probably my favorite Gator win of the year so far, and potentially the most impressive. I don't know if I'm misspeaking on that. But like we've kind of talked about in this pod already, dude, they were hitting shots, like tough shots. I know sometimes we see like the day after, like the graphs that come out and like shot probabilities and stuff. Dude, when that comes out tomorrow, it's going to be like unreal how lopsided it is. You know what I mean? And so to kind of have a few bounces go against you, to have your preseason SEC player of the year in foul trouble, on the road, midweek game. I mean, that's a tough environment to kind of right the ship. And kind of early on in the game, even when they weren't playing as well, I thought they were kind of weathering the storm and the circumstance as well, and showed kind of that championship DNA. Reminded me a little bit of the Auburn game several weeks ago, where other teams hitting shots, couple bad turnovers, but we kept responding. We stayed in it. So instead of falling down, 10, 12, 14 points, it never got past eight. And once it got to eight, in the first half, it was cut back down to one really fast. So just really impressive win. That's actually the first win I'd say this year that really made me feel like legitimately that team could cut down the nets at the end of everything. Like this whole time, I thought they were good. I didn't know, probably because the battle-tested point that you're talking about, like would they have the grit in the tough situations? And tonight was the first night I felt like that really showed through.
Well, Jake, I think in the last seven games, we trailed for like all of 6 minutes. Tonight, we trailed for nearly 18 or just over 18 minutes on the road. So, yeah, make your point. It is one of the most impressive wins, the most satisfying wins as well, to see us do it in that fashion.
Yeah, I think we've kind of touched on it the last couple of weeks, but one of the things that as we've gotten closer to the tournament and we've watched, around the country, you see these teams that, you're paying attention to what's going on around us in the Big Ten and the Big 12. And I think that it's hit me that a lot of these teams that are led by freshmen, I think A-Cup at Arkansas is a good example, even if they're not necessarily one of those one seed, top two or three seed type teams. But when this roster and these guys start coming at you, when it's Alex Condon and Ruben Chinulu and Tommy Houck and even Micah Hanlogden off the bench, I have a hard time seeing one of these teams that are led by freshmen going toe-to-toe with those guys 40 minutes in a tournament game. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they're super talented. You know, Koa Pete took it to them in the opening on opening night, but we've come a long way from then. And, you know, if and when we play Arizona or Duke or UConn again, one of those types of teams, even Michigan, are they going to be able to go toe-to-toe with all of these guys, with all of this tournament experience that's playing as hard as they're playing? You know, it's going to be fascinating. It's going to be interesting. But there's something about the way these guys play together that I have a hard time seeing it happen. I have a hard time seeing somebody, you know, crazy things happen in the tournament. I get it. But the way that they're playing right now, for us to win that game by 13 points, it's just hard to imagine what kind of valiant effort it will take in a tournament situation for a team to knock us out.
And Dev, to that point, honestly, you talk about how much we've been tested, and Jacob brought it up too. And while we haven't been tested many times in SEC play, obviously tested a lot early against a lot of those teams, you know, three top five teams, and so you had that experience. While it's important to be tested as a team individually, a lot of these guys went through March Madness last year in all six games, obviously. So that's something too where, you know, to your point on the freshmen, these guys – 18, 19 years old, haven't had tournament experience at the college level. I mean, we play eight guys, Condon, Tommy, Ruben. Boogie made it to the Sweet 16 last year. I know he was injured down the stretch, but he came back for the tournament. And then Micah and Urban, I mean, even, I don't know that Brown got many minutes, but a lot of these guys went through that last year and experienced it. And obviously, we all know how the tournament run went. They were playing in close game after close game. They had a lot of games where they had to come together and fight to come back down the stretch. And so, well, this specific team and some of these new guys like Lee haven't had to go through that. A lot of them have, and I think that'll benefit them a lot down the stretch.
And even through this conference slate, like, I have to keep reminding myself, like, this isn't like the 2014 SEC that you know, a team of four seniors just like ran through, went undefeated. Like, this SEC still might lead the country and tournament teams for a conference. You know what I mean? It might not be as top heavy as it was last year, but like these are quality wins. You know what I mean? So just super, super impressive that the resume that they're stacking up too. I know we talked some about seeding and what kind of seed they're going to get, but I kept thinking to myself the last five or so minutes of that game, like, who watches this team and thinks they're a three seed? Like, anybody that watches the team and how they're playing right now, it's a one or two seed. They're like, if you just eye test what they're putting on tape right now.
Yeah, agree there, JL. And another little tidbit, Florida bumps up their three-point percentage from 30.1 to 30.4. So moving out of that 350 range, now 330th in the country in three-point.
Gator boys are getting hot at the right time.
So we were 8 of 18 from 3 tonight, and then we were 11 of 22 against Ole Miss. So that's back-to-back games at better than 40%. Those numbers are starting to level themselves out from the early season struggles.
Dude, they are going to be such a tough out. If they shoot 40%.
Like, and we're making free throws. We shot 80% right tonight from the line.
Devin, do you want to apologize for jinxing Condon on a couple of his free throws?
No. I don't want to apologize for that.
Hey, Devin, who said that? I couldn't tell who asked you that question. I couldn't see. That might have been,
baseless Will Norris. No,
Spotify and Apple podcast listeners are pleased.
If you can't take, you know, a little bit of tire pumping, then I'm not going to apologize for jinxing him, and will continue to put the pressure on him to make his free throws. There's not anything you can complain about from Condon from that game. I'll forgive his couple missed free throws. Back-to-back games where he didn't have head-scratching turnovers either.
Dude, he was awesome tonight. Even a couple of those blocks,
Yeah, four blocks. He's just running the floor. I know Tommy had one where he kind of rolled his ankle. It looks like we haven't even hit on that. Our potential SEC player of the year going down with an injury. Good to see him come back and immediately gets an alley-oop with Condon running the floor. So he looks like he's healthy. Obviously, we'll see after a night's rest and if there's anything there with his injury. So I hopefully we'll get a report Thursday or Friday from Todd on how Tommy's doing. But
he looked like he was doing all right as he was flying through the air there.
I agree. But when the adrenaline wears off, you know how those ankles and those feet can be.
Being an esteemed athlete myself, you know, you definitely know how those ankles can be when the adrenaline wears off.
Well, was it the Tennessee game that Walt got hurt last year? He came back in the game.
Re-injured. Then,
a week after that. So hopefully we don't get that. I think that Saturday's a big bounce back spot for Tommy. He doesn't typically play back-to-back games. You're playing against the second candidate or maybe the leading candidate for the SEC player of the year. I have a feeling that he's going to come out and I'll call my shot now. I think Tommy Houck has a big game. Way to go out on a limb. I think he has a big game against Arkansas.
It also, I know we have one more home game against Miss State midweek, but the crowd obviously won't be the same in the midweek as it'll be on a Saturday evening in prime time with game day in town. So could be the last time some of us see Tommy Houck live and in person in a Gator uniform, at least in the O-Dome.
That's a good way to admit you won't be there Tuesday night on senior night, Will.
Yeah.
Tickets for Saturday night, last I looked, were $270 to get in the door. Ooh. And Tuesday, they are $19 to get in the door. So I have a feeling that we might be onto something about this, the people senior night being Saturday night.
I know a few of you guys are going Saturday. That place is going to be jumping. I mean, that
full day fair.
Yeah.
Midtown's going to be packed all day. Yeah,
and a chance to cut down the nets and win the SEC outright.
That's right. Yeah, so all the motivation in the world for the guys, add some extra juice to the crowd, game day being there. That'll be a sight to see. I won't be able to get up to Gainesville for it, but I'm excited to watch on TV because I think the O-Dome when the Gators are rolling, man, is one of the best venues in college basketball. And Saturday night's going to be one of those cases where that's going to be as good as a place to watch a college basketball game Saturday as there is in the country.
I agree. I got a question for you guys. It's kind of been penciled in these last few weeks. Ruben, Tommy, they're going to be first team all SEC players. Now Condon's obviously turned into that all American type player that we anticipated. You think do all three Gators, does the entire starting front court get enough votes? Is there going to be, I mean, what are your guys' thoughts if all three can take that first team all SEC, postseason, get those votes?
I think we ought to take a page out of Todd Golden's playbook and say we don't care about individual awards. We're here to cut down nets.
Well, great on Saturday night. Great.
That might not make for great podcasting, though.
I don't know if the media that votes on it watches the games. So,
hey, a forward averaging 14-8 is like tough to leave off of that. Especially, yeah. I mean, if you add in the fact that maybe somebody watches Alex Condon play over the last few weeks. Dude, I mean, it's not uncommon for a night like tonight to happen where he's your best player. I mean, he's that good. So, no, I do not think they get all three because I think the people that vote are going to have a tough time putting three Gators, or really three guys from any team, on a first-team ballot. But Alex Condon is deserving, man.
Who would be the biggest miss if they left them off the all SEC team?
I mean, they're all big misses, but you'd have to say Tommy or Ruben, who've been kind of the front runner for the SEC Player of the Year and then even National Defensive Player of the Year and Ruben.
Yeah.
I think those are two solidified. I think Condo, with maybe the start he got in league play and some of the loud turnovers more people might see, they all three are well-deserved to be on that first team ballot.
It just seems like Condon's been the best player on the team for like the last month.
Yeah, I know.
Maybe I'm a prisoner of the moment, but it feels like he's been since the Alabama game, he's been the best player on the team.
So since the Alabama game, that's a good point. I mean, it's been several weeks since then. He went 25-7 against Bama. He had 4 points in the following game at Texas A&M, but then he went 12-5, 14-11, 20-10, 24-4, 23-4.
Jeez.
Like, he's on a heater, dude. Like, so it's lunchtime.
For a week and a half.
A lot about the team. If he's the one that's getting snubbed, it says a lot about the team.
Right.
And I think I texted you guys that during that media timeout when we were down one, Texas immediately scores, go up three. I said, Condo's got to play these final 8 minutes, and he did. And he was part of that surgence of 22-3 run, step on their throats, and walk out of Austin with a big victory. I mean, he's just the best. The offense just flows so well. When you have someone at 6'10" that can catch the ball at the elbow or at the top of the key and kind of orchestrate, and guys are cutting, moving off ball screens, getting open. He was real aggressive tonight, driving the basketball. He got to the free throw line. He made some tough hooks. I mean, he just so efficient when he's kind of running that point at 6'10" from the middle of the floor.
I mean, he's the closest thing we've had to Joakim Noah since Joakim Noah.
He's got a sick skill set, man.
Yeah. There's no other big that we've had that could pass the ball like that. I think he might time block dunks better than anybody I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Every time someone challenges him, he is blocking it. He rarely gets called for fouls on it. If he gets called for a foul, it's usually an awful call.
And I think
they're all awful calls, but, you know.
And I think we've talked about him knocking down triples in back-to-back games, but he's only taken three total in these two games. Like, even though he's making it, his first shot in both games, he's still not giving himself that green light and like, all right, I'm going to throw it 4 or 5 this game and ruin a possession, essentially.
When he knocks down that first one and then passes up the next one, it's so crucial because you could just you could see Texas immediately when he would get the ball at the top of the key. They would sprint out afraid that he was going to shoot the ball, and he'd drive it right by him like he was a guard, and Ruben would seal it, and he'd two or three times just laying it right in. We needed buckets. It opens up the offense so well.
It does. And, well, anything else to wrap up basketball-wise, fellas?
No, I would just say the one thing we haven't touched on, and there's not too much to say about it, but the storyline added two of Boogie playing against Arkansas for the first time.
Yeah.
Just another added storyline. You know, you can win the SEC. Super important game down the stretch. Odom's going to be rocking College Game Day's there, and then you have, your starting point guard playing against his former team. Another fun storyline to the game.
Here we kind of solidified first half of the year. He's had some scoring outbursts recently, knocking down to triples, but we've known him for his defense. Now you get Darius Acuff coming to town. Him and Tommy are going at it for SEC Player of the Year. The Hogs are up 9 right now at halftime against A&M. I think they ended that first half on like a 35-15 run to take a 9-point lead. Big chance for him. Show Todd, this is why you brought me. If you can limit Acuff to under that 20-point mark, he's just been remarkable. It should be a fun night in the O-Dome. It's going to be one of the best. I wasn't there for Kentucky, but you guys said, and I've heard some other people, that the Auburn and Bama crowd was great. Kentucky was another level. I anticipate Arkansas to be up there with that Kentucky environment.
Absolutely.
All right, well, we'll transition to our next segment. Dev, your baseball minute. Let's hear it.
Hey, you're on the clock.
Thank you so much, Jackson. Yeah, welcome back to Devin's Baseball Minute presented by Insert Your Sponsor here. The Gators completed the midweek sweep of FIU. Won last night, won again tonight, 11-4. 9-1 on the season. That's 9 straight wins since losing the season opener to UAB. And Kyle Jones hit a bomb again tonight. Brendan Lawson hit a bomb again tonight. 6 RBIs tonight for Brendan Lawson. It's just these guys can really hit the ball. They can really, really hit the ball. And I think that's a welcome change. Chuck Drawman leaving for Tennessee hasn't hurt us. And it looks like the approaches at the plate, the eye test, they're passing all that early on in the season. Long way to go, long season, big series again this weekend, Miami. Going down to Coral Gables. So looking forward to seeing how they look in the best competition that they've played this year. I think Miami's 10-0 so far. So looking forward to it. That was Devin's baseball minute.
Dude, you were right on the nose for a minute. That's impressive.
Y'all gave me crap about 90 Devin's baseball 90 seconds last week, so I had to trim it down some.
Well, interesting stat. I also just saw the halftime report of this Arkansas game. Boogie and Kondo, first Gator duo to score 20-plus points on 70% shooting or better since February of 2012 when Bradley Beal and Irving Walker achieved that stat line together.
Those two guys are pretty good.
Yeah. It's a good start. Right back into basketball after Devin's baseball minute. It's a basketball.
Hottest team on campus right now.
There was a point in the second half where Texas fans had to have been like, we've played so good. We're shooting 50% from three. We're out rebounding them. Tommy Houck hasn't done a thing. And then we just had the Ruben Chinyelu block, followed by the Condon block, followed by the Houck block.
Yeah, rip your heart out.
Was it 11 blocks in the second half?
Yeah.
There has been a point where they just like sat back in their chair and they're like, these dudes are out of this world. Yeah. It was like such an insane stretch of defense. I think, we said, didn't score the last 7.5 minutes of the game, but good grief. They had to, the athleticism and the way that they played that during that avalanche was crazy.
So much fun to watch. And we got another big one Saturday, 8:30, so we'll probably come to you guys Sunday with the show. Appreciate you listening. Make sure you're liked and subscribed on Apple, Spotify, YouTube. Follow us on Twitter at BreakfastWTG. Again, we're part of the Stadium & Gill Network and presented by our partner, Norris & Norris PA. And we'll catch you Sunday, hopefully after the Gators clinch the regular season SEC title. Go Gators.
Go Gators.